Welcome, welcome. My name is Hopeton St. Clair Hibbert Jr., and I'm here with my host,
artist Damon Meskety. Today we're going to talk about, on Tell Me Where Your Head's At, defining abstract artwork.
Yeah, you know, just the definition of abstract, since we are
an abstract art,
you know, based podcast, or abstract thought, really. You know what I mean? Let's keep it all the way funky. What makes abstract...
Cut, maybe a door.
What makes abstract thinkers think the way they think? And with that being said, Damon, you know, tell me where your head is at.
I find being an abstract artist is very interesting because I think I told you before, I deal mostly from the emotional core or the cerebral context. So that's where the inception of my ideas come from. But a lot of times for me, there's so many ways to define abstract art. I just define it as, and then we'll get on this a little later, but I define it as, you know, it transcends the literal.
Yes.
You know, and so when we do things of that nature, it takes it to a whole nother realm. So you kind of see what I'm saying, where you come from that place where, hey, I have to define a feeling, or I have to define an idea which has
no visual
that's attached to it, or an icon or ideogram or anything like that. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, I'm doing the same thing with the Soul Mirror series, and that's an idea of a feeling of what is that feeling of connection look like?
Yeah, right? Like, definitely.
That's not a thing. That's not something you can throw under a microscope, right? But
I don't think so.
To try and convey that in a piece of art takes some abstract thought. You know what I mean? To how are we gonna? What would that look like?
Well, I mean, as an abstract artist, you probably can attest to this. Is when you learn to work outside the box. Working outside the box is almost like being an creative astronaut, right? You're outside the box. You're outside of the normal universe, and you're working in a space where everything that is grasped is almost theoretical.
Exactly. There's no rule book.
There's no rule book for it. And to convey your ideas clearly and concisely is the real trick. When you're talking about, you know, feeding the masses with this abstract image, and people are like, what is it? And then, you know, but most of the time I find it to be really great is that especially when you're showing your work as an abstract artist, that people can connect and bond with you on a higher level. Because when you start explaining it, then it might touch them in a way. That's where you can have a certain type of connection, because it's not going to be like I see it all of a sudden. And it's like, oh, wow, I remember this lake. I remember that boat. It reminds me of my grandmother's place. So it's not really so much that.
And a lot of times the feeling, you know, you've painted something. It may not be look like it's something specific, right? But it still exudes a feeling and that's what we want people to grab, right? When somebody walks up on your work and they're looking at it, I don't need you to say, oh, this is great, the way I want you to just feel something. You know, that should be first, in order to stop you in your tracks and at least look at it deeper than what it is, right? Stir your curiosity.
I totally agree.
What is this? What did this person create? And that's what led us to this podcast, right? What makes that person create that?
Now, definitely.
The tag says a bowl full of flowers, but I don't see any flowers
exactly
on this canvas. Like, exactly. I need to know more, right?
Well, I mean, you're definitely fishing when when we start titling our work. I guess that'll be a conversation for another show.
Yeah, I love talking about that.
Yeah, we'll title it. We can touch on it now because we're probably going to bleed into that anyway later on. Titling my work is when a lot of times my practice with theoretical art, with the theoretical visual abstract creation, is that I sit with my work for a while and I revisit it without touching it.
Yeah.
And so I remember the inception when I created it and where I was psychologically or emotionally. Mm-hmm. And then I can it starts to reveal itself to me. It's like a personal thing for me. And then by sitting with the work over a period of time, then I'm able to kind of say, oh, wow, that does look like a bowl of flowers. And the reason why it's so relevant is because I remember when my grandmother passed, I was sitting by the window and this lady brought some flowers in. And the emotional content I connect with my losing my grandmother, you know, that type of thing, mm-hmm. is in that image.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to paint a face of my grandmother. Like, you know, I've seen guys where, you know, if they're impressionistic mostly too. You take the picture of, and each bud and the flower looks like a face of a person, you know, but I wanted it to actually be more like flowers blooming and wilting. So those are the type of things that you try to convey on a deeper level as an abstract artist. So it's a very deep connection with your psyche and your spirituality. So that's what I really love about my craft and my gift, is that I can connect on a deeper level more than the superficial or the literal. You know, like I said, that's so easy to say, hey, this is an apple, right? So. Mm-hmm.
And it's I won't say easier, but it's one path to paint something that's obvious, right? Like,
yeah,
I want to convey this. This is exactly what it is.
True, true.
You know, and that's fine. You know, we all walk different paths, right? But I've always been a person that thought otherwise, right? Like I've always, even as a child, when I think back in childhood, what I did as a kid and what I played with, you know what I mean? Like and one thing I always made sure, I did not want to be like them. Whoever they was, I always was like, I don't want
to left
be
turn.
Like other people. Yeah. Like, yeah. So I was wearing boots and sweatpants in middle school. Like that was just,
because
I didn't want to look like
everyone else.
You know what I mean? So.
So that's kind of your motivation. That
it was
that
always push. Been like a motivation.
Yeah,
right?
Gotcha.
And I don't know if how much deeper that can be, right? Like I need to sit on a couch for that, but it was just a thing. I just knew that I wanted to be who I am, you know, and
that individualism and that you find
grow,
in that.
Yeah. You start to see, you know, you see what you're attracted to. You start to understand yourself a little bit more and, you know, to not pick up a camera. Now I'm shooting abstract things that no one would look at, you know what I mean? Now I'm starting to hone my abstract eye, right? Like, cause I could always see, like I remember I could look at wallpaper, right? And I would always see a pattern, see something, not the pattern of the wallpaper, but I would see something
in the pattern.
In the pattern.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like I always, whether it would be
they call it the Rorschach type of thing. Yeah.
Like whether a brick wall or anything, I always remember seeing stuff. Like,
yeah.
And, but I was never that kind of artist where I could see, you know, oh, this is ingrained in my memory. I can just
draw it. Yeah, yeah.
So what I started to do, I would actually photograph those things.
Yes.
And then blow up that imagery.
Yeah.
So now I have it.
Macro photography.
So I've captured that imagery of what I saw. And that's where my photography went. I would capture these abstract images so I can say, this is what I saw in something else.
Definitely.
And people would look at it and, well, what the hell is it? You know, is it photography? It's not an obvious image to where it questions, is it even photography? Because you don't know what you're looking at.
Well, that's a good inroad. So I want to ask is like, so when you started doing your macro photography, the thing is, that seems like your inception point was being very inquisitive up close on something.
Yeah.
And then you started seeing afterwards, things started to reveal itself.
Yeah, definitely. Which goes into the title. Okay, what are we looking at? Right.
Yes.
You got to have a title. I don't want you to say untitled. So like you said, you sit with it. You know, but the imagery, what I grab first is not like, oh, I see a cat. Let me capture that cat because it's small, you know. And then once you bring it into to the digital world, then you can flip it around and turn it 360 degrees. And now turning it upside down may have revealed something completely different. Right?
Yeah.
But it's still on that macro level that one would think about looking at because it's a freaking tree. Who's walking around analyzing tree bark, you know what I'm saying? It's not something you pay attention to, but that's kind of the thing is capturing beauty that the everyday person walks right past.
Well, then that's part of your gift, your hyper curiosity, right? You have the hyper inquisitive.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's also we plays into trying to see things that no one else can see and gives you an inroad to a whole another universe of creativity that sometimes goes to a point, people don't delve into it.
And it's funny you say that because I was watching a movie today and one scene that stood out to me was this conversation between a scientist and the student, right? And the student was a person who was from not the typical background that this high-end college was used to, right? So he was outside of the usual.
Got you.
From the jump, right? And so this teacher was telling, he had a confrontation and they were having a conversation about what had happened.
Okay.
And he was just basically saying, hey, you don't have to defend me. She was like, well, it's not that I'm defending you. I'm trying to help strengthen the idea of fueling a mind that comes from a different environment, because that mind is going to think differently than what we're used to producing here. Because a lot of times in schools, like high-end schools, is rich kids are the kind of used to the same way of thinking. And so that idea is more so elevating an idea that already exists.
Got you.
As opposed to someone who may come from a totally different background that had all kind of obstacles, that person's going to think differently.
Yeah, there's not going to be preconceptions.
There's no preconceptions. Yeah. There's totally different environments that this person was growing up in, totally different.
Got you.
You know, so their brain thinks differently. Not that it's even necessarily an abstract thought, but you just have to think differently. Well, because I think they're not the same people.
Could be abstract. I mean, I think it could be an abstract thought. I mean, let's delve into some of the stuff that we've picked up and we want to get into more, like some of the dictionary.
Yeah, let's talk about the definitions.
Definitions more. Of the word abstract.